morning, everybody.
Clear my throat.
What a wonderful morning we've had already this morning. I want you to turn in to Psalm 133, please, to begin our lesson this morning from God's Word. It's a blessing to be able to study together for a few minutes this morning, to look at the Word of God. I hope that this morning's lesson will be very instructive and encouraging, thought-provoking, and that we'll take an evaluation of our lives and we'll compare ourselves and our behavior and our thoughts to the Word of God. And unfortunately, I suspect that we will feel like we fall short in regard to that, and that there is work for us to do. I say unfortunately because it's usually not a very pleasant feeling to think that way and realize. But on the other hand, it is a joyful thing to understand better what God would have of us and to know that when we do what God would have us to do, that there are blessings that He bestows upon us as a result of that, not the least of which is the forgiveness of our sins that we've been talking about so much this morning. Psalm 133 in verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And then he says it's like precious oil upon the head. And oil is a healing thing, an anointing thing. And then he talks about it being like the dew of Hermon, the Mount Hermon, the waters running down the mountain, and so it's a life-sustaining thing. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It heals, it sustains, it's good, it's pleasant. For brethren to dwell together in unity, it takes a lot of work. It takes some love, a lot of love for brethren to dwell together in unity, because we are human beings susceptible to our failings and susceptible to our selfishness. And as a result of that, we sometimes make mistakes in how we treat one another, how we deal with problems. We cause problems ourselves, or we're the brunt of problems, perhaps. And all of that can be prevented, but it usually isn't. Usually there are issues to deal with. There are problems to deal with, and we have to learn from God's Word how best to deal with those problems in order to remain in unity. We know a lot of passages about love from the Scriptures. John chapter 13, for example, verse 34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Romans 13 and verse 8, owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. 1 Peter 4 and verse 8, and above all things have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Colossians 3 and verse 14, but above all these things put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. James 2 and verse 8, if you really fulfill the royal law, according to the Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5, now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 3, that though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. And on we could go, no doubt, with the Scriptures teaching us the importance, the prominence, the preeminence of love in terms of how we treat one another. I want to look with you this morning at a beginning of a series on one another commands. And this is kind of like an offshoot of the series that we're doing in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, which I've entitled Proving the Will of God. You remember, We've talked about proving the will of God in the past number of lessons. That passage, Romans 12 and verses 1 and 2, talks about making our bodies a living sacrifice, presenting our bodies before God as a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service. We talked about that today, about how much we owe God. It's our reasonable service to present ourselves before God as a living sacrifice. And then he goes on in verse 2 and says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I've made the point, and I'm going to make it again this morning. I really believe that this is the biblical foundation of our relationship with God and our ability then to prove the will of God, to be willing to submit our minds, our will, to the will of God. That's the only way we're going to be transformed, submit. And I think that's the idea in Romans 12. Even though that word is not used there, he says, you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, how in the world is that going to happen unless you're willing to submit to what you hear from God's Word? Submit to what God teaches you. That's where we fail. We refuse, or we simply aren't instructed, perhaps, aren't reminded, don't spend enough time in the Word, whatever. We're not hearing enough, or perhaps it's worse than that. We're hearing, but we're not submitting. And I want to encourage you, exhort you this morning to think about some of these one another commands with me as we begin this series. And ask ourselves, are we just hearing the Word of God and not submitting to it? Or are we hearing it, allowing it to transform us by the renewing of our minds so that we may prove, that means to discern and to practice. Discern what is good and acceptable and perfect in God's will and then practice it, that we may prove the will of God in our lives. Demonstrate it. Practice it. First, we have to discern it by putting it to the test, and then we have to practice it. And that's, I'm saying, none of that happens unless we're willing to submit ourselves to what God says. So let's look at some things that God says. This is kind of an overview lesson this morning, and then as time permits, I'm going to keep an eye on the clock. I'm going to go as far as I want to with our lesson this morning, but we're not going to go over time. We're just going to dig out of this. I mean, I could go on for 2 hours with this morning's lesson and the material that I have here up on the screen, but I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to stop at a certain point. And I thought to myself, I don't know how this lesson's going to go. It just depends on what the Scriptures speak to us this morning. We're going to look at some Scriptures together, but first, what we're going to do is we're going to look at some categories, I think, that we can look at these one another commands in the Bible. There's 26 one another commands that I'm going to show you this morning, and there probably are some others. 26 one another commands. So, love one another is one of them. Well, that's what we've been talking about this morning. How do we love one another is defined in a number of different ways in the Scriptures. In 1 Corinthians 13, with some words that define it. But throughout the Scriptures with one another commands. Do this for one another. Do this for one, to one another, for one another, at one another. All of those commands are rooted in the idea of love, loving one another. And I've divided them into four different categories just for a conceptual framework within which to work. I think it's helpful. Humility, number one. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Humility. Avoiding destruction. I would love to look at that this morning as well, but we won't have time. And the reason why I say that is because oftentimes we get the concepts, but then when we look at how we violate those concepts, and that's the section on avoiding destruction, here's what you don't do. Oftentimes we don't realize what we're doing. And we ought not to be doing it. And so that section on avoiding destruction is very helpful in the Scriptures. And again, these are not my thoughts. These are simply my divisions of what God is saying to us through His commands, all of which are rooted in the idea of one another. Service is another category. Number of one another passages that have to do with serving one another. And edification, building up one another, exhorting one another, encouraging one another, is another category of one another commands. So here are some of them. For example, on humility. Be of the same mind toward one another. Esteem as better one another. No, Mike? The projector's not on. All right, we're going to start over. I'm glad you laughed at that. All right, it's coming up. All right, let's start from where we left off. Be of the same mind toward one another. All right, I'm just listing these right now, and that's why I wanted them up on the board. So I'm glad you came up, Bert, and fixed that for me. I wanted you to see these. Be of the same mind toward one another. Esteem as better one another. Submit to one another. And we read down through these, and you say, yep, that's right. That's right. That's right. What I want us to do is look into our lives and really ask ourselves, are we submitting to these commands? Are we really putting them into our lives? Bearing with one another, receiving one another, be at peace with one another, have compassion for one another, forgive one another, be devoted to one another. These areas on humility are the ones we're going to start with this morning in more detail. But I want to keep going on and show you some of these other commands. Commands about avoiding destruction. Do not judge one another critically. Do not murmur against one another. Do not complain and dispute with one another. Do not speak evil of one another. Do not bite and devour one another. Do not lie to one another. These passages carry so much power for destruction, but the violation of these passages carry so much potential for the destruction of unity in the body of Christ. And we're going to look at those, but not today. Third category of service, serve one another. Bear one another's burdens. Be kind to one another. Show hospitality to one another. Pray for one another. These are all commands in the Scriptures. Every single one of these. I'm not making these up. These are commands. And just like we value the importance of staying within the doctrine of Christ doctrinally and of being obedient to the Word of God in matters of the gospel and the plan of salvation and the worship of the church and the organization of the church and all of those doctrinal areas that we must be faithful to and submit to and obey. And we need to do that, but we need to do that this too. We need to submit to and obey, discern and practice these one another commands in our lives. And it's good for us to evaluate ourselves and to think about how we're doing in regard to these commandments of God. Because there are such blessings that come from obedience to them, from submission to them and obedience to them. Think about it. Think about marriage. Think about putting these one another commands and these concepts into a marriage and the blessings that come from that. From relationships with your brethren and the blessings that come from that. From dealing with your children in these matters and the blessings that come from that. In the workplace, in the neighborhood, all relationships are impacted greatly by our submission to and our practice of these types of commands. And then the fourth category, edification. Build up one another, admonish one another, exhort one another, consider one another to stir up unto love and good works. assembling together with one another, teaching one another in word and in song. All of these are one another passages that I have listed up on the board here, and we'll get to them as time permits. Now, let's come back to humility. And let's look at this particular category, some of the one another commands that are in this category today, and this will be our lesson for this morning as we look at some of these passages. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12, please, in verse 16. Romans chapter 12 and verse 16, and you might remember that Romans 12 starts with the practical exhortation that we already alluded to this morning. Paul gets into the practical in Romans 12. He's talking about the gospel from chapters 1 through 11. In verse 1 of chapter 12, he's talking about how we live. And he goes down through Romans 12 with a long list of bullet points, if you will. A long list of words. The first one that he lists is to not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. And he comes back to that in Romans chapter 12 and verse 16. He says, "Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the holy." I'm sorry, with the humble. "Do not be wise in your own opinion." You see how that connects back to verse 3. Not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. Be of the same mind. Here's another translation, the New Revised Standard Version. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. The contemporary English version says it this way. Be friendly with everyone. Now that's a much looser translation. I like some of those for just bringing out some depth of thought. Be friendly with everyone. Don't be proud and feel that you're smarter than others. Don't be proud and feel that you're smarter than others. Make friends with ordinary people. Interesting different ways of saying those things, isn't it? Here's the International Children's Bible version of this same verse. Live together in peace with each other. Do not be proud, but make friends with those who seem unimportant. Do not think how smart you are. Be of the same mind toward one another is the command. Now look at the richness and the depth just by looking at this verse and all of the different translations. Look at the thoughts that come to mind and ask yourself, is this you? Is this who you are? Do you associate with the lowly? Do you pay attention to the people who seem to be less important? These are fundamental commands of the Word of God. And when we follow these commands, it produces unity and harmony and peace, love. Look with me in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 2. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 2. Paul says in verse 1, rejoice. He's talking about rejoicing. Verses 2 through 5. He says, I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche. These are two women, and we don't know anything about them other than what Paul says here. But there was apparently a conflict between these two women in the church at Philippi. These are good women. These are people, these are women who help Paul in the preaching of the gospel. These are good women. And he says, I urge you, or I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Where does that connect? It connects with the peace, the unity, the harmony. Help these two women to be in harmony with one another, to be of the same mind toward one another, to be friendly with one another, to not think of themselves as better or smarter than the other. Help these two women to have unity. Rejoice in the Lord. You cannot rejoice in the Lord, brethren, without unity and harmony and friendliness. Help these women to be of the same mind. And then he says in verse 5, let your gentleness be known to all men, the Lord is at hand. That is a great word. Go study that word sometime. Let your gentleness. That's not the same word that's translated gentle or meek in other passages of Scripture. It's a different word. And when you go and study that, you find some great commentary on it that brings out the essence of the word. It means graciousness. It means reasonableness. It means forbearance. It means a forbearing spirit. It means moderation. And that's the way it's translated in various different translations. Let your moderation, your graciousness, your forbearance, your forbearing spirit be known. Be known. It should be seen. It should be something that people can see in you. You are gracious. You are forbearing. You're sweet. Some translations call it a sweet reasonableness. You're not looking out for your own interests. You're not standing up for your own rights. You're not complaining about the wrong that's been done to you. You're trying to produce harmony and peace and unity through a sweetness and a reasonableness and a forbearance that looks out for the interests of your neighbor. Be of the same mind toward one another. It says a lot, doesn't it? That one passage says a whole lot in terms of how we treat one another, especially in the context of conflict. Euodia and Syntyche, let your reasonableness, let your sweetness, let your kind forbearance be known to all. Let them see it, demonstrate it, prove it, discern it, and practice it. These are the commands of God. 1 Corinthians 8, I put in there because this is the problem that's associated with a failure in this particular area. It has to do with idol worship, but you'll see what I mean by this in just a moment. He says, now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. That's the word for builds. Love builds. Love puts things together. Love provides harmony and unity. Love builds up. But knowledge, it puffs up. It makes one arrogant. He goes on to say, and if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. We try to justify ourselves. We try to, and when there's conflict, we try to make our point. And we don't rest until we've made it. We persist in it. We want that person to see things our way. That's not sweet reasonableness. That's not a forbearing spirit. That's not harmony. That's a self-motivated interest. And you think you know, you think you know. Here's what's right. Here's what way it should be. Here's what should have been done. Here's what you did wrong. Knowledge makes arrogant. Love edifies. We don't have to have our point made. We don't have to win the argument. We don't have to get the results even that we want. What we have to do is be of the same mind. What we have to do is be in harmony, be at peace, be friendly, be forbearing, be reasonable. Show the love of Christ to the person that we're having conflict with. That's what we have to do. And then we'll depend on God to resolve the matter. We'll depend on God and to bless us with that peace and that harmony that we really want. We don't want to be in conflict. But we got to do it God's way. And if we don't do it God's way, that conflict is going to remain, and we're not going to dwell together in unity, and there isn't going to be that harmony between us. Should we keep going? One more. At least. Probably just one. We'll see. Go to Philippians 2 and verses 1 through 8. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 8. I wish we could just, you know, sit around and talk about this for 2 hours. That's my idea, you know. How do you produce unity in the body of Christ? How do you maintain it in the body? Well, you sit around and you talk, you know, with the Scriptures. You look at the Scriptures and you talk about them. We do that when we have our Bible classes on Wednesday night. And we do that on Sunday morning in our Bible classes. We talk about the Scriptures. That's great. We need to do that as much as we can. And then preaching doesn't allow that particular opportunity. So you just have to listen to me for a few more minutes as I discuss. But try to think your own thoughts. Try to apply these Scriptures to your own life. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 8. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, and there is, I'm adding that part. If any comfort of love, and there is. If any fellowship of the Spirit, yes, there is. If any affection and mercy, most certainly. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing, and this is how you do it. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. How does that play out? Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And then he goes on to say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. The perfect example of someone who puts others' interests before his own. Again, that's not the way we usually deal with conflict. Usually, the way we deal with it is we want to make our point. And we feel quite righteous. Is that really going to serve the purpose of others? For us to impose our point upon them? For us to insist upon them agreeing with us or seeing it exactly the way we see it? Is that serving the interests of others? You see what he's saying here, and he says, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. How does that play out in real life? With sweet reasonableness, with gentleness, with kindness, with a forbearing spirit, with friendliness, with lowliness. Humility. You see why these are wrapped up in that theme of humility? They all stem from that. Now, are we willing to submit to these commands? Or are we going to continue to act in the way we have always acted? Transform through the renewing of our mind that we may prove, discern, and demonstrate and practice. Will of God, which is good, means it's beautiful. It means it produces good results. The will of God produces good results. And it's well-pleasing. It's acceptable to God. It pleases God when we submit to and put these things into practice. He's pleased with that. That ought to be enough for us. Whether we get our way or not, whether we win the battle or not, have we pleased God by our behavior? And it's perfect. And that word perfect means brought to completion. It's God's goal for us to be this kind of a person. That's His goal for us. His will is perfect. It makes us perfect if we'll submit to it. So I'm going to stop there this morning and there's so much more that's of good interest. And we'll talk about it as we continue on in this series of lessons on the one another commands. And we've just begun to touch the hem of the garment on all of these one another commands that are in the scriptures. And I hope that they'll be fruitful and productive for us as we continue in them. If you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian, we always make an opportunity at the end of the service for someone to be buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of their sins. Or if you're already a Christian and you have sin in your life that you know others know about, and it's important for you to let them know that you're sorry and you want their forgiveness. If it's private sin in your life, you can ask God right now for forgiveness, and He will forgive you if you're a Christian. So we always try to make an opportunity for someone, if anyone wants to take the action they need to take in order to be right with God. We don't ever want to leave this building. We don't ever want to live a minute in our lives when we're not right with God. So if you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ in baptism this morning, or you want to make public confession of sin, whatever your need may be, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus in His mercy and His grace. In the heavens high and the depths, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we
Father, as we just sung, we look forward to the day that we can be with You in heaven, Father, and a day that we can be away from the trials and tribulations of this life, Father, and the pain and the suffering that we sometimes feel here, Father, where we look forward to that day when all that goes away and we can just have a good, joyous time with You, Father, in heaven and bask in Your glory. Father, we're just prayerful of those who can't be with us this morning for whatever reason. We just pray for the sick as that they would get better, that You would heal them, Father, and those who are spiritually weak who can't be with us, Father. We just pray that something can be said or done to experience their heart, Father, that they may be able to come back to serve You once again with us. And Father, we're just so thankful for Christ and all that He means to us, Father. As we talked about the lesson in the lesson this morning, the idea of being unified, Father, that true unity only comes from You and Your Word. That we have to come to it through Your Son, and Father, through the humbling of ourselves and submitting to you. Father, we're just so thankful that you give us the opportunity to be here with one another, that we can be strengthened and edified and built up with each other, Father, that we don't have to go face this world alone, Father, with our own ideas and our own just our own strength, Father. We can always lean on one another and just always have the family, the sense of family and community here through the love that you've shown us. Father, just help us to never forget that, but help us to always keep that in our minds as we go through the week, that we face temptation to maybe do things our way, but help us to always remember the love that you have for us, that we would never forsake you and your ways, Father. We would just continually submit ourselves to you. Father, we're just thankful that we've been able to be cleansed from our sins, Father. If we have sin in our life, we pray for forgiveness, Father, that we would truly pick ourselves up from the sin in our lives, and that we would just turn back to you in repentance and in a way that we can serve you once again and be a useful tool in your kingdom, Father. Go with us now. We just pray for the safety of the brethren, that we would all be shining lights in our community, Father, that we would spread the gospel and do the things necessary to make sure that you're glorified in this world. We pray all this in